Good morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we continue to worship. Heavenly Father, you are all to us. When it comes down to everything that this world throws at us and everything it wants us to chase after, everything it values, Lord, we count everything as loss to the comparison, the comparing worth of knowing you, Lord. There's nothing greater than that. You are all to us, Lord, and I pray that it would be revealed in our lives, the way we act, the way we respond to what life throws at us, Lord, in our love for the lost, our love for you, our devotion to you, our commitment to share the truth with others. Lord, I pray that you would truly be everything to us. You are all. Father, I pray that at this time, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds and allow your Holy Spirit, Lord, to take control. That you would have your way in us this morning. That we would be sensitive to your Spirit's leading. That we would listen carefully to what you have to say. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be in Hebrews 12, verses 18 through 29 as we finish out Hebrews 12. If you don't have a Bible, there's probably one there in front of you. Open up to Hebrews 12, chapter 12. As we finish up looking at running the race, we've been talking a lot about running the race that God has set before us. Our life as a believer has been likened to a race that we're running for His glory and His kingdom purposes. So as we finish up looking at this, we looked at it last week, and last week we were encouraged to not grow weary. And as we are encouraged not to grow weary, we were remembering to look at Jesus' example. And remember, He understands our struggles. He understands what you're going through. He's been through whatever you could possibly go through. He understands. And He's offering us help. We look to His example, and He understands our struggles, and He's offering us help to press on. We also remembered God's love for us, even in His loving discipline. He desires our best, and we were reminded of God's call to be renewed in His strength, and we were also encouraged to the fact that this week that we are, as He finishes up this passage, that we are part of an unshakable kingdom. This is phenomenal. When you look at this unshakable kingdom, how can we not be encouraged? So in this passage, we're going to look at, see the comparison between the old covenant and the new covenant, the old order versus the new order, bondage versus blessing, law versus grace. As we run this race, He reminds us to take advantage of our access. And that's the first thing we're going to look there in verses 18 through 24. Let's read that. Hebrews 12, verses 18 through 24. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice whose words may the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. God reminds us here where we stand in Christ. If you are a follower of Christ, He's reminding of you where you stand. This gives us great encouragement to run the race that's been set before us. He contrasts Moses and Mount Sinai with Jesus and the heavenly Mount Zion. The giving of the law versus the blessing of grace in the church. He starts off here with fear and trembling that took place at Mount Sinai. Blazing fire. Darkness, gloom, trumpets and trembling and the booming voice of God. As we take a closer look at this, if you can hold your place there and turn to Exodus 19, verses 16 to 23, I want to give us a clear picture of what God's people were facing that day at Mount Sinai, because that's what He's talking about here in the first part of this passage. Verse 16 starts off, "On the morning of the third day, there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them.' And Moses said to the Lord, 'The people cannot come up to the mountain, for you yourself warned us, saying, set limits around the mountain and consecrate it.'" God came down on Mount Sinai near the people, and they were not allowed to even get close to his presence. To touch the mountain meant death. In fact, only one, Moses, was allowed to approach God on the mountain. The people had to be consecrated in order that his holiness, God's holiness, would not consume them in their sin. In fact, in the telling of this same story in Deuteronomy 5, out of fear, the people told Moses, "Hey, it's best that God speak through you to us. Don't let him speak to us anymore." And so God revealed himself to the people, and in doing so, he revealed their unworthiness, their sinfulness that would bring upon them death in the presence of God. In fact, on this mountain, God delivered his law to the people, the law that revealed the perfect standard that God required of all mankind, the law that revealed our sin, sin that separates us from God's presence. The law reminded his people that it was impossible to obey him perfectly, and death was inevitable. Therefore, the law reminded them of the blood sacrifice that must be shed for the forgiveness of sins. This would happen at Mount Sinai. This was the nature of the old covenant. God's presence, as we move on, if you move on from that day at Mount Sinai, he gave them instructions to build a temple. And God's presence in that temple was behind a curtain in a place called the Holy of Holies. And only one priest, the high priest, one priest, the high priest, was allowed to come near God once a year. Once a year on behalf of the people's sin, just as Moses did on the mountain. This event that took place there on Mount Sinai, it invoked in the people a newfound reverent fear of God. In our flesh, we cannot stand before God. He is holy and we are sinful. Even the blood of all the animals in all the sacrifices that have ever been made pointed forward to that one and only perfect atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The only one. God's presence and his word always bring about a reverent fear and awe of him. We see it here in this story. We've seen it with Isaiah as he fell to the ground and said, "Woe is me, I am a sinful man." We see it with John as he falls to his feet when he witnesses the glory of God in heaven. God in his word should bring about a reverent fear and awe of him. Verse 22 then transitions us from this old covenant to the new covenant. It transitions us to the fact that those who believe in Christ are no longer under the law of the old covenant, but are under grace. Believers worship God in a restored relationship with him, a perfect relationship where we enjoy fellowship with God. There's great joy. There's great peace in his presence, not like we see here at Mount Sinai. Through Christ's death and resurrection, the curtain in that temple was torn in half. Because Jesus rose from the dead, he made a way for all people to overcome death and live forever with God. All those who believe in him, repent of their sin, who confess him as Lord, are adopted as sons and daughters of God. This is the new covenant. Philippians 3:20 states that our citizenship is now in heaven. It's no longer here on earth. He talks here about Mount Zion. This is where believers meet with God. It represents the true worship of God. We see this in Revelation 21. It's the city of the living God, he says, the heavenly Jerusalem. Jerusalem there symbolizes God's people in community with him. The heavenly Mount Zion is where we want to be. It's where we want to be. Look, Look at who is in the presence of God there. He says there are a multitude of angels, innumerable angels worshiping God. There is the assembly of the firstborn. These are those who have been born of God through Christ. This is the church. Their names are written in heaven because believers are already members of this heavenly city. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are members of God's family. There are those who believed in God in the Old Covenant, the righteous who were made perfect through the sacrifice of Christ. And of course, there we see in verse 24, we see that Jesus is there. The one mediator of this new covenant, the one that made all this possible. Just let that sink in. This is where you stand in Christ. You're not there at Mount Sinai anymore. You're going to be at Mount Zion in the presence of God. He points out that it is Christ's blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. We think about the blood of Abel when Cain killed his brother. The first man born into this world was a murderer, killed his brother. The blood of Abel cried out from the earth, justice. It made Cain feel guilty. It drove him away in despair and shame. Jesus' blood announces grace and mercy for sinners. His blood forgives our sin, frees us from guilt, and restores our broken relationship to God. His blood that was shed on the cross for us gives us life. Why was God pointing this out to these Hebrew believers? What He does here, He wants them to understand the new covenant in Christ. He wants them to be reminded of the blessing of being a part of the new covenant versus the old. In the midst of all of life's hard issues, as we run this race, He wanted them to understand, to be encouraged, that they are part of God's unshakable kingdom and what that meant for them. Where one could not freely approach God before, where there was a great divide of separation because of sin, Christ has now opened that door and we can freely come to Him. In fact, just back in Hebrews 4:16, He says this, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." What an awesome promise. What an awesome verse to memorize and to cling to. Let us then with confidence draw near to Him and receive the grace and mercy that we need in time of help. How blessed are God's children. As human beings, we are desperately in need of Him. All who live on this earth are in need of God's grace and mercy. No matter what life throws at you, no matter how far you fall, no matter what guilt you have in your heart, no matter what lies of Satan you have believed, no matter what things you've sought after, no matter who's against you, God's throne of grace is open to you. In Christ, through His Holy Spirit, God's presence in us. Think about that. God is living in us. He has given us access to Him to receive, with great confidence, to come before Him and receive that mercy. Receive His grace and forgiveness, strength and power and direction, love and understanding and wisdom and so much more. Romans 5:2, I love this. Through Him, that's Jesus Christ, through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope and glory of God. Through His blood, through His presence of His Spirit, we have access to Him. Access, where we can come confidently to Him and receive grace and mercy for help. Do we take this access for granted? I want you just to think for a second. I want you to think about your access, full access to the King of Kings, Almighty God, Creator of all things, who has your best in mind, who wants to lavish on you mercy and grace, not what you deserve, what you don't deserve. Love, mercy, forgiveness. Just let that set in for a second. I have access to God who saved me, who loves me, who wants to forgive me, who wants to mold me into his likeness, who wants to give me abundant life. Let that set in for a second. Do we take this access for granted? Have we forgotten that in Christ we live by grace and not by works? Are we still trying to please God by religious works or by abiding in his presence? You have access to the Creator of all things, to the holy, all-powerful, all-knowing, loving, merciful, one true God. As we talked about last week, he has your best in mind. So why not take advantage of this access? Why spend so much time on the sidelines of this race? Distracted by the world, distracted by the suffering of this life, distracted by Satan's agenda. He has given us everything we need to run this race and have victory in life, to have abundant life, to glorify him. Not just anyone could come before the king. If you look back in the time of kings, not just anybody could approach the king. If you approach the king, if someone just tried to approach the king, you could be killed. But you know who could approach the king anytime? His child. His child could come before the king. They had full access to the king, which was their dad. We have full access to the King of Kings because of Christ, his blood, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Before moving on, I want us to take a minute. Before we move on to the next point, I want us to take a moment. I want us to pray and evaluate our hearts. I want us to just take a moment to ask God if we have neglected our access, if we've not taken advantage of this relationship that we have with him. Ask him to reveal right now what things, what excuses, what hindrances, or what sins are keeping you from spending time with him. Let's just take a moment. Just close your eyes, and I want you to ask God those questions. Are you taking your access to him for granted? What's holding you back? Let's just have a moment of silence here as you pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. Thanksgiving just overflows our heart right now, Lord, because we know where we would be without you. Separated from you in a place called hell. In your mercy and grace, you loved us and you saved us. You lifted us up out of the pit. You gave us life, eternal life. You've given us access to you to come to you whenever we need you, at any time, any place, to receive grace and mercy. Lord, may we not take that for granted. May we not take the relationship we have with you for granted. Pray this in Jesus' name. As we contemplate the blessing of being a part of God's unshakable kingdom, we are warned here in this passage to pay attention. Pay attention to God's word. Look there in verse 25 through 29. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns us from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. He starts off there with, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. Pay attention to what God is saying. That's what he's saying. Pay attention to what he's saying. God is still speaking to us through his word and his providential working in the world around us. We better stop and we better give attention. We better listen carefully to what he has to say. We better pay attention. Verse 25 wants us to take notice of those who did not pay attention in the past. They did not listen and obey God. God spoke to the Israelites in the giving of the law through Moses. That generation refused God's word. They rejected his plan for them. Therefore, they disobeyed God's leading. They disobeyed his word. And it says that they were judged. We know they died in the desert. They never got to see the promised land. They never got to experience his grace and mercy in a land that he was going to give them. The abundant life in that land. That generation refused, rejected his plan. They did not listen. They did not pay attention. And he says there, for if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. He mentions there in verse 26 that at the giving of the law, his voice shook the earth. Remember, God came down in a cloud and fire, shaking, an earthquake, shaking the mountain, and the people were filled with reverence and awe. Filled with reverence and awe. But we just looked. They still refused to listen to God's word and obey. The momentary feeling of awe was replaced with a selfish focus on themselves and a fear of the future. Well, I don't want to give in. I don't want to surrender because I don't know. I don't think. I don't know what God's going to do. I'm just afraid of what he might do. I don't know where he's going to lead me. I don't know if I want to do that. A selfish focus on themselves. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to slavery. Now pay attention to what he says there about the future. He will shake the world again, not only the world, but the heavens as well. This highlights a passage in Haggai 2:6 that talks about the second coming of Christ, the end times, the dreadful day of the Lord. God will one day judge the world for sin. This is going to happen. This judgment involves the destruction of created things in order to reveal the greater spiritual things. The things that cannot be shaken or removed. Verse 27 states this phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Everything that is will be tested by fire. And what remains will be the greater spiritual things that we have received in Christ. For those who have never believed in Christ, never repented of your sin, never confessed Jesus as Lord, beware. Pay attention to what God says here. God is speaking from heaven the message about the work of Christ. And those who ignore Jesus' good news will not escape God's holy wrath. God has given us one way, one mediator, and all have sinned against him. He is holy and we have broken his perfect law. Our punishment for that sin is death and everlasting punishment, everlasting destruction in a place created for Satan and his demons. Pay attention. God so loved the world that he came himself. Jesus came and lived among us. He lived a perfect life without sin. He had power over nature, power to heal the sick, power over Satan, power to forgive sin. He had power to raise the dead. He was betrayed by his own people and crucified on the cross. On that cross, he became that perfect Lamb of God, the blood sacrifice for all the sins of the world. On that cross, he took our punishment for our sin, and he died in our place. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He defeated death. He defeated sin, and he lives to offer all people forgiveness of sin and eternal life. But here's the if. If you believe and who he is and what he did. If you repent of your sin and ask his forgiveness, if you confess him as Lord of your life, meaning he's now in control of your life. You're no longer in control. You no longer make the decisions he does. If you do that, he will forgive all your sin. He will give you eternal life. He will put His presence in you, the Holy Spirit. He will give you citizenship in heaven right now, no longer on this earth. You will now be a part of a kingdom that is unshakable, that will stand the test of fire and judgment. 2 Peter 3:7 says that just as God spoke the word long ago that brought judgment on this earth through water, He is storing up for the next judgment. And this will be the one judgment that ends it all. He states, but by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. But for believers, those who follow Christ, here's where you need to be encouraged. We are part of God's kingdom that is unshakable, which means when God pours out His holy wrath on this world, you will not be affected by it. When His judgment shakes the heavens and the earth, you will be secure in Christ. Your eternal future is secure. It is guaranteed by God Himself. That invokes an amen. Amen that we live and we're a part of God's unshakable kingdom. That when His wrath comes, we will be secure in Him. But this warning is not just for those who have never believed. It's also for the church. Those who have believed more than anyone else should pay attention to God's Word. God gave us the Bible. It is without error, written through some 40 authors, through the power of the Holy Spirit, with one grand story of redemption that from the beginning to the end that focuses on Jesus Christ. These words of God were written down for His children. The Bible states in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that without the Holy Spirit, which we receive when we are born of God, we cannot understand the Word of God. John 14:26 states that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. The lost can read through this. I read through this before I came to Christ, before I surrendered my life to Him, and I didn't understand it. I didn't have the Holy Spirit. I didn't have God as teacher, teaching me and helping me understand, illuminating what His Word means. So as a Christian, of all people, we need to listen carefully to what God is saying, because we, of all people, can understand what He's saying. We better listen to God's Word, because 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 states this: all Scripture is breathed out by God. It is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Lord, don't we need that? Training in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God's Word is greatly profitable for living holy lives that please and glorify God. God's Word actually makes us complete. It prepares us to walk in all those works that God prepared for you. Therefore, we need to listen and we need to obey His Word. We saw last week that God disciplines those He loves, right? It's out there on the sign. He disciplines us for our good. He disciplines our disobedience to His Word. And so therefore, we better pay attention to what God says. If you are a child of God, you can't just live however you want. You can't just live however you want anymore. You're God's child. You're His representative. You're His witness. You're His ambassador to the world around us so that they can see the glory of God and want what we have. We're not supposed to be like them anymore. We're not supposed to live like the world anymore. We are different. And so we need to listen to what He says. If you're a child of God, you can't just ignore God's commands and think that you're going to get away with it. That's not the way it works. That's why we spend time daily with God in His Word. We pay attention to what He says. That's why we approach Him with reverent fear and awe and respect. When God speaks, we better listen. Listen well, and we better obey Him. How should we respond to this? We live in a world that is shaking all around us, like Mount Sinai. It's shaking. It's falling all apart. I mean, just look around you. Watch the news. Why are so many people building their lives on things that are shakeable? Even Christians. These are things that will not withstand the shaking judgment of God. They will be burned up in the judgment of fire. As Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Stop worrying about all these things. Just seek His kingdom. Seek His righteousness, and He will supply for you. Don't get wrapped up in building your life on things that will be burned up. Focus on Him. Focus on Him. Build your life on the foundation of Christ and His Word, eternal things. How else should we respond? He says there in verse 28, let us be grateful. Grateful that we are part of God's unshakable kingdom. Are you grateful that He has saved you from the wrath of holy God? The just wrath of our holy God? As you run this race of life, are you grateful that you are a child of God, that every day He is there to sustain you? He's actually interceding for you. He desires your best. He knows your hurts and pains, and He wants to help you. Are you grateful that you are a part of God's unshakable kingdom? He also says that we should offer Him acceptable worship with reverence and awe. How do you approach God? You've been given access to Him. Do not take your access for granted. Do not approach God like you would any other human being. Remember, He is your heavenly Father. He is Almighty God. What is acceptable worship? It reminds me of Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Your whole life and everything you do is worship to God. But is your life-giving worship acceptable to Him? Are you striving to listen to His Word and obey Him so that your lifestyle is holy? Is what you do on a daily basis holy and therefore acceptable to God? Remember, church, look there at verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. In Him we have hope, we have forgiveness, we have everlasting life and all the grace and mercy and help that we need to run this race. But we also serve a holy God who is just and will and must punish sin. And so we approach Him with reverence and respect and awe and faith in the work of Christ. Not our works, His work. We remember that without grace, we are doomed in the flesh. God's not just something you add to your life. He is your life. He is your all. Remember, we just sang that. You're our all. You're everything. He's the center of your life, not you. As time of judgment grows near every day, we will see this world continue to fall apart and shake. But as followers of Christ, we are not fearful because we belong to God's unshakable kingdom. We live our lives in a world that is shaken and torn apart, but as we live our lives, we pay attention to God's Word. We listen, obey what He says. We approach Him with confidence, reverence, and love, and we draw from His grace and power every day. We don't get distracted by the changes going on around us, so that we can keep on running this race, keep on glorifying Him in the way we live. While others are full of fear, we are confident in God's unshakable kingdom. As the worship team comes, I want you to right now take advantage of your access. Take advantage of the access that you have to God that was paid by the blood and life of Christ. Take advantage of that. Because He's there with open arms. He wants to pour on you mercy and grace. He wants to give you abundant life. Pay attention to His Word. Don't be like those in the past who rejected His Word. Pay attention to what He's saying. For those of you who have never receive Christ. Pay attention. I plead with you. God is offering you life today.
forgiveness of all your sin. He's going to take that punishment of sin away from you. And He's going to give you eternal life if you will respond to Him. If you will say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I've sinned against You. I know my punishment is death, Lord. Please forgive me of my sin. I believe You died. I believe You rose from the grave. And I surrender my life to You right now. I want You to be in control. I want You to lead my life. I want You to live in and through me. If you pray that, today you will be His child. Right now. No one knows what's going to happen tomorrow or this afternoon. So I plead with you. I plead with you. Attention. Pay attention to His Word. Let's take time right now to take advantage of the access we have and respond to His Word.